on a bright, cloudless morning, death fell from the sky and the world was changed. A flash of light and a wall of fire destroyed a city and demonstrated that mankind possessed the means to destroy itself. Why do we come to this place? To Hiroshima. We come to ponder a terrible force unleashed in a not so distant past. We come to mourn the dead, including over 100,000 Japanese men, women, and children. Thousands of Koreans, a dozen Americans held prisoner. Their souls speak to us. They ask us to look inward, to take stock of who we are and what we might become. It is not the fact of war that sets Hiroshima apart. Artifacts tell us that violent conflict appeared with the very first man. Our early ancestors, having learned to make blades from flint and spears from wood, used these tools not just for hunting, but against their own kind. On every continent, the history of civilization is filled with war, whether driven by scarcity of grain or hunger for gold, compelled by nationalist fervor or religious zeal. Empires have risen and fallen. Peoples have been subjugated and liberated. And at each juncture, innocents have suffered a countless toll, their names forgotten by time. The world war that reached its brutal end in Hiroshima and Nagasaki was fought among the wealthiest and most powerful of nations. Their civilizations had given the world great cities and magnificent art. Their thinkers had advanced ideas of justice and harmony and truth. And yet, the war grew out of the same base instinct for domination or conquest that had caused conflicts among the simplest tribes. An old pattern, amplified by new capabilities and without new constraints. In the span of a few years, some 60 million people would die. Men, women, children. No different than us. Shot, beaten, marched, bombed, jailed, starved, gassed to death. There are many sites around the world that chronicle this war, memorials that tell stories of courage and heroism, graves and empty camps that echo of unspeakable depravity. Yet in the image of a mushroom cloud that rose into these skies, we are most starkly reminded of humanity's core contradiction. How the very spark that marks us as a species, our thoughts, our imagination, our language, our tool making, our ability to set ourselves apart from nature and bend it to our will, Those very things also give us the capacity for unmatched destruction. How often does material advancement or social innovation blind us to this truth? How easily we learn to justify violence in the name of some higher cause. Every great religion promises a pathway to love and peace and righteousness, and yet no religion has been spared from believers who have claimed their faith as a license to kill. Nations arise, telling a story that binds people together in sacrifice and cooperation, allowing for remarkable feats, but those same stories have so often been used to oppress and dehumanize those who are different. Science allows us to communicate across the seas and fly above the clouds, to cure disease and understand the cosmos, but those same discoveries can be turned into ever more efficient killing machines. The wars of the modern age teach us this truth. Hiroshima teaches this truth. Technological progress without an equivalent progress in human institutions can doom us. The scientific revolution that led to the splitting of an atom requires a moral revolution as well. That is why we come to this place. We stand here in the middle of this city and force ourselves to imagine the moment the bomb fell. We force ourselves to feel the dread of children confused by what they see. We listen to a silent cry. We remember all the innocents killed across the arc of that terrible war and the wars that came before and the wars that would follow. Mere words cannot give voice to such suffering. But we have a shared responsibility to look directly into the eye of history and ask what we must do differently to curb such suffering again. Someday, the voices of the Hibakusha will no longer be with us to bear witness. But the memory of the morning of August 6th, 1945, must never fade. That memory allows us to fight complacency. It fuels our moral imagination. It allows us to change. And since that fateful day, we have made choices that give us hope. The United States and Japan forged not only an alliance, but a friendship that has won far more for our people than we could ever claim through war. The nations of Europe built a union that replaced battlefields with bonds of commerce and democracy. Oppressed peoples and nations won liberation. An international community established institutions and treaties that work to avoid war and aspire to restrict and roll back and ultimately eliminate the existence of nuclear weapons. Still, every act of aggression between nations, every act of terror and corruption and cruelty and oppression that we see around the world shows our work is never done. We may not be able to eliminate man's capacity to do evil. So nations and the alliances that we formed must possess the means to defend ourselves. But among those nations like my own that hold nuclear stockpiles, we must have the courage to escape the logic of fear and pursue a world without them. We may not realize this goal in my lifetime, but persistent effort can roll back the possibility of catastrophe. We can chart a course that leads to the destruction of these stockpiles. We can stop the spread to new nations and secure deadly materials from fanatics. And yet that is not enough. For we see around the world today how even the crudest rifles and barrel bombs can serve up violence on a terrible scale. We must change our mindset about war itself to prevent conflict through diplomacy and strive to end conflicts after they've begun. To see our growing interdependence as a cause for peaceful cooperation and not violent competition. To define our nations not by our capacity to destroy, but by what we build. And perhaps above all, we must reimagine our connection to one another as members of one human race. For this too is what makes our species unique. We're not bound by genetic code to repeat the mistakes of the past. We can learn. We can choose. We can tell our children a different story, one that describes a common humanity, one that makes war less likely and cruelty less easily accepted. We see these stories in the Hibakusha, the woman who forgave a pilot who flew the plane that dropped the atomic bomb because she recognized that what she really hated was war itself. The man who sought out families of Americans killed here because he believed their loss was equal to his own. My own nation's story began with simple words. All men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Realizing that ideal has never been easy, even within our own borders, even among our own citizens. But staying true to that story is worth the effort. It is an ideal to be strived for, an ideal that extends across continents and across oceans. The irreducible worth of every person, the insistence that every life is precious, the radical and necessary notion that we are part of a single human family. That is the story that we all must tell. That is why we come to Hiroshima, so that we might think of people we love. The first smile from our children in the morning. The gentle touch from a spouse over the kitchen table. the comforting embrace of a parent. We can think of those things and know that those same precious moments took place here 71 years ago. Those who died, they are like us. Ordinary people understand this, I think. They do not want more war. They would rather that the wonders of science be focused on improving life and not eliminating it. When the choices made by nations, when the choices made by leaders reflect this simple wisdom, then the lesson of Hiroshima is done. The world was forever changed here. But today, the children of this city will go through their day in peace. What a precious thing that is. It is worth protecting and then extending to every child. That is the future we can choose. A future in which Hiroshima and Nagasaki are known not as the dawn of atomic warfare, but as the start of our own moral awakening.
昨年戦後70年の節目にあたり、 私は米国を訪問し、 米国の上下両院の合同会議において、 日本の内閣総理大臣としてスピーチを行いました。 あの戦争によって、 多くの米国の若者たちと 夢が失われ、 未来が失われました。 その苛烈な歴史に改めて思いを致し、先の戦争で倒れた米国の全ての人々の魂、常しへの哀悼を捧げました。そしてこの70年間、日米 両国、ジャパン、すべての人々に感謝と尊敬の念を表しました。70年の時を経て、心の中隊を結ぶ友となり、深い信頼と友情によって結ばれる同盟国となりました。
私はスピーチでそう訴えました。あれから1年、今度はオバマ大統領が米国のリーダーとして初めて、この被爆地 広島を訪問してくれました。被爆の大統領が被爆の実相に触れ、核兵器のない世界への決意を新たにする。核なき世界を信じてやまない世界中の大きな希望を与えてくれました。
people all around the world have never given up their hope for a world without nuclear weapons.
広島の人々のみならず、すべての日本国民が待ち望んだこの歴史的な訪問を
心から歓迎したいと思います。日米両国の和解、そして信頼と友情の歴史に新たなページを刻む、オバマ大統領の決断と勇気に対して、これから皆様と共に敬意を表したいと思います。先ほど私とオバマ大統領は、先の大戦において、そして原爆投下によって犠牲となった全ての人々に対し哀悼の誠を捧げました。71年前、広島そして長崎では、たった一発の原子爆弾によって何の罪もないたくさんの生の人々が、そして子どもたちが無残にも犠牲となりました。一人一人にそれぞれの人生があり、夢があり、愛する家族があった。この当然の事実をかみしめるとき、ただただ断腸の念を禁じえません。今なお被爆によって大変な苦痛を受けておられる方々もいらっしゃいます。71年前、まさにこの地にあって想像を絶するような悲惨な経験をした方々の思い、それは筆舌に尽くしがたいものであります。さまざまな思いが巨大したであろう、その胸の中にあって、ただこのことだけは間違いありません。世界中のどこであろうとも、再びこのような悲惨な経験を決して繰り返させてはならない。この痛切な思いをしっかりと受け継いでいくことが、今を生きる私たちの責任であります。核兵器のない世界を必ず実現する、その道のりがいかに長く、いかに困難なものであろうとも、絶え間なく努力を積み重ねていくことが、今を生きる私たちの責任であります。そしてあの忘れ得ぬ日に生まれた子どもたちが、高級平和を願って灯して、あの灯火に誓って、世界の平和と繁栄に力を尽くす、それが今を生きる私たちの責任であります。必ずやその責任を果たしていく。日本と米国が力を合わせて、世界の人々に希望を生み出す灯火となる。この地に立ち、オバマ大統領と共に改めて固く決意しています。そのことが広島長崎原子爆弾の犠牲となった数多の御霊の思いに応える唯一の道である、私はそう確信しています。
I am convinced of this.